In Jesus' mighty name.
Please make someone welcome.
It's a day of empowerment, and there's going to be a shift in the spirit. There will be a shift indeed in the spirit in the name of Jesus. It's obvious that the auditorium is full. Please, ushers, do something about the people standing. Turn your Bible quickly. We are pressed for time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We want to look at the clothing of the Lord. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. That's the first reading. Second reading is the book of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter number 3. From verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife healed themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Hallelujah. The direct consequence that befell Adam and Eve upon partaking of the fruit that God had instructed that they should not partake of was that they realized that they were naked. And it came to pass that God began to walk in the garden in the cool of the day, seeking fellowship with man. And he called out to Adam, Where art thou? I don't have time this evening to explain the import of that question. But he called out and said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam's response was that I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. The last time I checked, if someone is naked and you are coming close to such a person, the person should be ashamed. But this kind of nakedness that befell Adam and Eve was the nakedness that maketh afraid. Meanwhile, the one we know is a nakedness that makes what? Afraid. The one we know is what? Nakedness that makes ashamed. But the experience they had was an experience of a kind of nakedness that made afraid. In the book of 2 Corinthians where we read, we saw a mighty presentation from the Apostle Paul. And he said that if the house of the tabernacle were dissolved, and the meaning of tabernacle in that presentation from Apostle Paul is my body. If my body becomes feeble, if it becomes weak, and it is dissolved, and I sleep the sleep of death. Apostle Paul is making a revelation here. He says there is a tabernacle. I have a spiritual body that is domiciled in the heavens, and that body is an eternal body. So the fact that this one is weary, the fact that this one becomes weak, the fact that this one withers, does not affect anything. The weakness, the weariness that befalls this particular tabernacle that I'm running with, that I'm functioning with right now, the fact that it becomes withered and it is dissolved doesn't change anything. But he is educating us to understand that we have another tabernacle that is domiciled in the heavens. And it is designed to be able to relate with the frame of reference of eternity. That's the first point the apostle makes. Second point the apostle makes is that it's in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, for in this tabernacle we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. The second point Apostle Paul makes is that there is a possibility for you to groan in prayer and take and beg God to be clothed, and God will release that garment that is in heaven for you to wear it temporarily while you are yet in this flesh. He said, for in this one, we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So you can actually make a demand on God and say, Lord, I want to loan my tabernacle, the one that is in heaven, for a few moments. Hallelujah. I need to tell you something about your tabernacle. Now, the Bible says concerning Jesus that he was in the form of God. The word form in Greek is morphe, which means structure. There was a kind of structure that Jesus had that made his omni powers functional. Because of that structure, it was possible for him to have the capacity to do anything. Because of that structure, he had the capacity to know everything. Are you here? What made him, one of the compliments he enjoyed being a member of the Godhead was a certain kind of regalia that he wore. And that was responsible for the omni powers manifested through him. And the Bible says, in keeping with the need to fulfill the will of God, he had to become man, a change of morphe. It was this change of morphe that made Jesus to put on the garment of humanity. And the first brutal result of that change of garment, and he wore the garment of humanity, the first brutal implication of that change was that his omni powers were suspended. So Jesus knew as much as the Holy Spirit was willing to make available. Jesus could do as much as the Holy Spirit was empowered him to do. He became like limited by the resources that the Holy Spirit made available to him so that he could be a perfect example of the possibilities that we enjoy in this covenant that we share with God. The issue of your morphe, your structure, your tabernacle, is a critical issue because the moment you wear another type of tabernacle, you will be able to manifest some abilities that are not consistent with the previous one. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. So, in verse 2, Paul says, as long as we are in this current tabernacle, we are sentenced to groaning. And this groaning is because we have a desire to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. I'm going to show you subsequently, there was once upon a time in the book of John, Jesus desired to be clothed with his true tabernacle, his original body. I will show you that. So it is possible for you to loan your body, your spiritual body, for a moment. And when that happens, the powers of that spiritual tabernacle can be manifested. We are going to demonstrate it this night because the prayer point is there. It's already there in the book of John chapter 17. I'm going to pray that prayer this night. And God will answer. The reason why I'm preaching this message is because I had a discussion with God behind the scene. And he has already registered his willingness to loan that product. So I'm going to wear it and walk in it. But you see, the thing about that product is that you can't hold on to it for too long. In fact, if you hold on to it for too long, you will vanish into the realm where the product is from. In my thesis this night, I want us to discover what exactly happened to Adam when he considered himself what? Naked. Next verse there. In the next verse, we see a certain possibility that we need to run away from. He said, If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So it is when we are clothed in this context that we are delivered from nakedness. Hallelujah. We are going to go, we'll still talk about the word naked briefly. And then you will see how it works before we go into the prayer session and we're asking God to loan us. Just loan us that tabernacle for a moment. Because we want to do something that we cannot do with this body. This body is not designed to operate that way. So if we loan it, the majesty that comes with it will be manifest. The Lord help us in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So we need to, one of the reasons for which Paul encouraged us to desire to be clothed with our tabernacle which is in heaven is so that we will not be found naked. Verse 4. Verse 4 reveals our condition in the present state. For we that are in this tabernacle, we do groan, and were burdened. Not for that we should be unclothed, but that we should be clothed upon. And the experience of being clothed is the breaking forth of life to swallow up the properties of mortality. Hallelujah. The weakness that is in our mortality. Will be swallowed up by the power of the life that tabernacles our spirit man. This experience, are you here? This experience, because the next verse, it reveals the technology by which this is possible. It shows us that technology in the next verse. The ultimate fulfillment of this experience that I'm talking about will take place at the appearance of the Lord. Now, somebody that is intelligent would have asked me why. The ultimate manifestation of the presentation that this man is making here will take place at the point of the appearance of the Lord. So because nobody is asking that question, I will answer it. However, hallelujah. There were two things that the gospel brought to light. First thing that the gospel brought to light is life. The possibility of being a partaker of the divine nature. Are you with me? The second thing that the gospel brought to light was the possibility of immortality, where we can live in a state of existence that death can no longer reproach. Are you here? Now, as we are now as Christians in this age, what we are operating with is the life aspect. Jesus came in his first coming. He came and initiated and commissioned the life aspect. And that became functional on the basis of his resurrection from the dead. Are you with me? Now, the immortality aspect will be delivered to us in Jesus' second coming. Is that clear? So, it's not clear? It is clear? All right. So, the syllabus of your Christianity, the start, we don't know when you started, but we can tell you when you will finish this journey of faith. The syllabus of your Christianity, of your believing, of your having faith, that syllabus ends with the appearing of the Lord. As long as that has not yet happened, if God, Jesus has not yet come the second time, he will not release the other aspect of the package, which is the possibility for us to enter into the full scope of immortality. It is the aspect of immortality that Jesus was going to download that will be responsible for resurrection from the dead. Everything that has to do with death and his power will be totally, how will I put it? Humanity will be swallowed up ultimately. It's not as if when Jesus comes and when the rapture takes place that you see dead bodies. Just like, what movie? You see somebody's trouser with, maybe it's, then you see, no. What will happen is that this mortality, life will swallow it up. Do you understand that? Oh, you don't understand. There will be no waste product. It will just be swallowed up by another reality. That is what is going to happen. And in the next verse, are you with me? The technology by which that will happen, by which this that I'm explaining will happen, he has told us already. Let's see the technology. He said, now he that wrought us for this self same thing is God. And how is he doing it? He's doing it by giving us the earnest of his spirit. The word earnest here means down payment. Let's say you go to the market and you want to buy a product, a shirt, a shoe, and you don't have all the money that is required for you to make the purchase. And what you now do is that you drop a deposit. The shoe is 3,000, you have 1,005, you drop
1,005. Is remaining what? 1,005.
When you drop that 1,005, what is the implication? It means that it is trapped. Even if somebody comes to the shop and the person likes it, because you have dropped that deposit, the person can't take it. If the owner of the shop is a man of integrity. You get that? Because you have dropped what? A deposit. So when you became saved, what happened to you is that God gave you a deposit of his spirit. Not a full measure, but a deposit. So all of us are walking with a measure of the spirit of God. The earnest, the deposit of the spirit. Even if you raise the dead, you raise the dead on a deposit. But when you now labor and secure 1,005 additional, and you go to the shop, if you make the payment, what will you do? You take the product. That's what is going to happen in the level of immortality. He will just release the full measure, and this realm can no longer hold you. You will be swallowed up into the realm of your true spiritual body. Do you get that? That's immortality. And when you enter into that realm, okay, let me leave you. You are not following me. So that one, this one will happen at his aspect. When Jesus appears, that's the ultimate fulfillment of what this man is saying. But this man also said that while we are in this one, we are groaning and desiring that we might be clothed upon. And I want to show you from scripture that it's possible for you to loan that body for a moment. You will not be able to hold on to it forever, but you can loan it briefly and walk in his powers, and then it will be withdrawn from you. Do you get that? Because it's obvious tonight that what God wants to do is to clothe. He wants to clothe people. He wants to change some garments. So I need to develop the framework of what I'm talking about very clearly so that you will know what God will do to you today. Are you still with me? So the ultimate fulfillment of this is when God releases another measure of what you are carrying. When there's a measure you can receive that you'll not be able to operate in this physical frame of reference. And that is what happened to our brother Enoch. A measure. You will become not. And Enoch was what? He was not. Are you there? And so that's how rapture will take place. When that measure comes, then the full thrust of your heavenly tabernacle is going to come upon you. And it's not as if you will find dead bodies. It will swallow up mortality. That's how it will work. Mortality will be swallowed up by life. Did you get it? All right. For me to justify the fact that it is possible for you to loan your body, I need to show you a few scriptures. Because this, even though Paul says we are desiring to be clothed upon, he didn't say that it was possible for us to be clothed upon. So we need to go to the book of John chapter 17 and find out if that kind of thing is possible. In John chapter 17, from verse number 1, the Bible says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest to me to do." Verse 5 is the request. Meanwhile, for your information, verse 4 is a verse of scripture that should attract your interest. Because Jesus has not yet gone to the cross, and Jesus said he has finished the work.
I think the next and ultimate time that Jesus said it is finished, he was on the cross. But he had not gone near the cross here. And he said he had finished the work that the Father had given him to do. The question is, how? So that's why I'm drawing your attention to it. But it's not my focus, so it's a burden that I'm passing to you. Now, this is the focus. The focus is in verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus was asking for his tabernacle, for the structure, the morphe that he carried in the eternities before time began. And he was asking for this dimension of glory on earth. Oh, I know an intelligent student is still saying in the congregation, he asked of it. We are not sure the Father answered. That's why the lecture has not ended. Hallelujah. Did I say the lecture has finished? Okay. All right, go to the book of Matthew chapter 17. You are going to see the response of the Father to that prayer that Jesus prayed. And after 6 days, because one of the things that the Father responded to the Son about his request was that your request will be granted in the next 6 days, but you will need to go to a certain location. So after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to an high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. Now, you see, You are not with me. If you are still here, say amen. Amen. The Father gave him the duration. It will take 6 days for me to do the download. And there is a location that you need to stand before that download will take place. If you desperately need to be clothed with the glory that you had before the world was. And Jesus just called his disciples and said, okay, let's take a stroll. Then he brought them to the mountain apart. Some display was about to happen. And the Bible says that he was transfigured before them and his face did shine as the sun. Did you hear that there was a dead body on the ground? What was happening here was that mortality was being swallowed up by life. And then his true spiritual framework, his true spiritual body that was tabernacled in the heavens began to download. And there was a gradual shift. And his face, the Bible says, began to shine like the sun. Hallelujah. I like this kind of scripture. Oh my God. His face began to shine as the sun. And his raiment, you know, in that movie of Rapture, the raptured and their trousers were this glory that was coming upon Jesus, it also affected what? Guess what? Even if you as an individual stay close, in close range, the thing too will begin to affect you. Just like Moses went to the mountain and he looked upon the Lord, and when he came back, his face began to shine. Once upon a time, I went for prayers. I was still in Benue State University. And I came back from the place of prayer. And the guy that saw me went back. And he said my face was shining. I didn't have a mirror to verify it. Hallelujah. So it was strange. So, somebody said, he's saying he has experience. Is it what Jesus was manifesting here? Is to show every believer how you look like. Every one of us. Oh, you may not have seen yourself in the spirit before. But this is how every believer looks like. The Adam of Eden. One thing you are not aware of. In my own little. The Adam of Eden, he was blazing like this light. That was how he was. Have you ever seen a light bulb before? It has a filament inside. Is that true? And then when electricity begins to flow inside of it, can you still look at the filament? Can you see it? No. So Adam was, there was a transmission from God that made Adam glow. And the moment that electricity was withdrawn, Adam could see the filament. Hey, I'm naked. That's what happened. It was something divine that was upon that creature, and he glowed. Jesus wanted to show every one of us how we look in the spirit. You glow. And that was a little dimension of glory that God showed through the life of Moses. And his face began to shine. They had to cover the face because he glowed. The Bible says that his raiment was as white as light. It means that this thing that came upon Jesus affected what he wore. And meanwhile, this was a result of a prayer, a petition. I want to walk in it again. It's been so long. I don't even know myself anymore. Can I have? Just make contact with that reality. And his garment began to shine as the light. Hallelujah. Okay, maybe we'll continue the reading. Yeah, go on. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. The reality that downloaded his tabernacle, the force field that brought it, also created the possibility for him to begin to interact with people in that realm. Notice that it was only Jesus they were talking to. The people that were not in that realm, that were spectators. Moses didn't say, well, don't know. No, see, you... It was only Jesus that was in that framework that could interact with the realities that came with the realm. Even though Peter was not given the legal right to speak under these circumstances, when he spoke, you could see how deficient, how backward, how uncivilized his utterance was, because he was not there, was not in the realm. Okay, let's take inventory of what Peter said. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. This is where we want to die. Let's see, it's good. We understand now. Let's be here. And we'll build three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Meanwhile, the Bible never revealed what Moses and Elijah were telling Jesus. But if you take a quick look, you will find out that before the kingdom was manifested in the person of Jesus, before the New Testament was rolled out, all of the methods of engaging God was second hand. You either engage God through a book, or you engage God through a man, a priest. Right? So it was second hand. If you wanted to find out whether it is good for you to do this or do that, then they'll bring the Torah and read it out and say, okay, according to this, you should not do this. See, you consulted God, and the mind of God was secured through a book. And just in case, what you are looking for, the specific assortment of insight you are looking for, it is not captured like that in the Torah, you will need to consult with a prophet. And then the prophet now brings the unique mind of God for your situation. At best, you
encountered God secondhand. And what was happening here were handover notes. Elijah, who represented the prophets, was handing over. Moses, that represented the law, was handing over because the arrangement in the kingdom was not going to be secondhand. God was going to be speaking directly to the sons of men because he was going to be tabernacled in them. A new dispensation was being heralded. And the Father never wanted this herald to take place in the hiding. It will take place in the splendor of glory. But the arrangement that is being inaugurated is superior to what existed before. Meanwhile, Peter said, it is good that we be here. Then he also began to consider a construction project. The reason why he was speaking like this was because he was not in the realm. But one benefit that they had coming to the Mount of Transfiguration was that even though they were not in the realm, they did not need introduction to know that it was Elijah and that it was Moses. Because the environment that made this encounter possible came with his own inherent discernment. And the people that were not in the realm could function in it. And there was no need for an introduction. They just knew that this was Elijah. They just knew that this was Moses. All of this was happening because one man was clothed. May you not be found naked in the name of Jesus. The clothing made it possible for him to interact with heavenly beings. Made it possible for him, for Elijah to be discussing with him. It was something he wore that made it possible. And people that did not wear that thing, even though they saw Elijah, he could not speak to them. So Peter was busy proposing a building project, probably to bring in Julius Berger for a quick contract to trap those dimensions that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration down and to make it a perpetual reality that they can walk into and walk out from. In his own mind, he was speaking sense. But you see, if that arrangement, if this is request was considered, it means we'll be equating Moses and Elijah to Jesus. And that's an abomination. So they were coming to hand over. This was the first graphic manifestation of the kingdom of God in the person of his son. Hallelujah. In some renderings, we find that, okay, let's go on. Next verse. While the air spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud. The Father had to ride on the cloud to shut Peter's mouth. While he was still talking, let's bring Julius Berger. Let's bring his construction now. We need to be here. We need to be. It was noise. God had to ride on a cloud. And a voice spoke out of that cloud, which said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. If anybody should be talking here, it is him. Hear ye him. All of this was happening because someone was what? Next verse is my emphasis. And when the disciples heard it, what happened? They fell on their face and were sore. Who can recognize this symptom? They were naked. That's where I'm going. Because the Bible says, Adam was the one that said, we heard your voice and we hid ourselves. We were afraid because we were naked. One of the evidences of nakedness is fear. And that's why you need to deal with fear decisively anytime it comes, because you are vulnerable. They fell on their faces and they were so afraid. It was only Jesus that was clothed. These ones, the symptoms of their nakedness began to find expression.
If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Tonight the Lord will clothe you.
Amen.
And there are realities, spiritual realities that will begin to happen on the account of the clothing that God is going to make available to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh my God, I'm being clothed already. Isaiko Mahatali. I'm being clothed already. Now, all I did is an introduction. Let us go to the main teaching. The main teaching is in the book of Numbers, chapter 20. When I finish Numbers, chapter 20, then we will take full inventory of the delivery that God is releasing from heaven, and we'll begin to operate according to the deposit that the Lord will give. In the book of Numbers, chapter 20, are you there in Numbers 20? Numbers chapter 20, verse 23. And the Lord spake. Numbers chapter 20, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because he rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. He said, because of your rebellion, your lifespan has been measured. You will be gathered unto your people. Next verse. He said, take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them unto Mount Hor. Now listen, how many of you have ever visited a cinema? The cinemas are visited, the sitting, the place for sitting is high, and then the place for the screen was on the low side. So you will watch from a height. But this is also a cinema. The arrangement here. But the difference between this cinema is that you will be watching from the low side, and the action will be taking place on the high side. So everyone in the camp was given the privilege to see what was going to happen. The message that came from God was that Aaron was going to be gathered to his people. The instructions are touching the circumstances that will lead to his death is what we are reading. And everybody is looking upon it in the tent, because it is happening on the top of the mountain. This is cinema. Now, he said, take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor. Eleazar was the one that was chosen to take over from Aaron. And this discipline was needed so that rebellion can be cut off at his root. That God cannot establish a nation with rebellion. When they got to the top of the mountain, the Bible says, another instruction. It says, strip Aaron of his garments and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die there. As long as Aaron was wearing that garment, Aaron could not die. The moment Aaron was stripped of the garment and the garment were passed on to his son, then he was naked.
It was in a state of nakedness that death encroached upon. So if you know how important your garment is, you will fight to keep it. When Satan wants you to violate the principles of God, that will lead you to a point where God will strip you of your garment, you will fight. Because you know that as long as you are clothed, even death will turn backwards. The confidence that some people have in God is that they are clothed. The devil might rage, but there is nothing he can do as long as they are in possession of that garment that God put upon them. Death cannot take. It says, strip Aaron of his garment. What is it that is fighting for your garment? In the book of Zechariah chapter 3, the Bible talks about Joshua the high priest. He was standing before the Lord. An angel of the Lord was standing by him. Can we do Joshua? Zechariah chapter 3. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? This is a commentary. The next verse is a commentary. It says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. His garments were filthy. That was what gave Satan the ground, the authority. And Satan was standing by his right hand to resist him. As long as he had those garments on, Satan had authority even in the courts of heaven. If you know that your garment is as important as that, it's a live bout. You know, when we, because 80% of the petroleum products we consume in Nigeria comes from Europe. The big mother vessels that are bigger than this entire compound put together. And as high as 3-story building, they cannot come into our waterways. They will be there on the ocean. And then smaller vessels will go there and take product from the big one. The big one, it will take 1 month to offload. Then the smaller vessels, I'm talking about 30,000 metric tons, 20,000 metric tons, 11,000 metric tons, and then they will come to the depots. Then we will board them. And then calculate the quantity. And go into the tank that they are going to pump it into. And calculate the quantity before they pump. So you will know what came in. When you subtract what existed in the tank, you subtract that from your new volume. Because of our engagement on the waterways and all of that, they had to take us for a training, swimming training. That was where they taught us how to launch a life raft and how to use life jackets. Are you still with me? Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Before they give you life jacket, they will tell you that the reason why it's called life jacket is because it's a life jacket. And when you put it on, they will ask you to jump into the water so that you can be used to it. Then when you jump, you will go deep. But because you are wearing the life jacket, you will come out. As long as you are wearing that jacket, you will not drown. If you know that the reason why you are floating is because you are wearing what?
If one fish is coming and he likes the color of the jacket, the last strength you can muster, you generate it and send the fish a message. But what we see in the body of Christ is that so many people, like Joshua the high priest, are casual about their filthy garments. Meanwhile, that is the support system that is designed to keep you alive. Tonight, we are going to pray. In the book of Psalms, the Bible says, let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no ointment. There is a relationship between your garment and what is on your head. Let your garment be what? Always white. And let your head lack no what? That's the prayer point tonight. That God will help us to ensure that our garment is always white so that our head will not lack ointment. If you got that prayer point, you may rise on your feet. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. If you are here tonight, and while I was preaching, it was clear to you that God was talking to you, that your garments are filthy. Even though you come to church, you have not made a real commitment to follow Jesus. And the state of your life is a state of filth. You have attended a few of the sessions and it's as if something has been piercing your heart. It may seem that the Holy Spirit is registering a sense of displeasure. It is because He wants to open the door of salvation to you. Tonight, if you are here and you are tired of a life of sin and you want to begin to walk with Jesus, you have heard all the messages and you believe that the right thing to do is to cultivate a relationship with Jesus and to serve His will. And you have come to that point of decision making. You are ready to serve Jesus. You want to leave filth and enter into the service of the Lord. If that is your desire, anywhere you are, inside or outside, put your right hand on your chest quickly. Your right hand on your chest. I know this is a minister's conference, but we need to do the basic things. If your right hand is on your chest, raise your left hand up so that I can see you. be ashamed. Decisions like this is the entry point into journeys in God. If your hand is up, leave your seat with that hand up. Come to me. We don't want to take anything for granted. Every stone must be turned. Every stone must be turned. Every stone. For those of you outside, if you are beginning to sense that the Lord is knocking on your heart, putting pressure on you, it will be wise for you to respond. When this life is over, the difference between life and death will be Jesus. Jesus, just Jesus. Just Jesus. I'm waiting for those of you outside. Someone is arguing with God there. Arguing with the Holy Ghost. I challenge you to rebel against the devil. Rebel against him. He's not a good master. God is going to take you out of any form of filth whatsoever so that he can put some ointment on your head. For those of you that are already out, can you ask for mercy quickly? For mercy. For mercy. For mercy. For mercy. For mercy. There is somebody in this congregation, you are a member of a cult group. You are a member of a cult group and you are in the congregation. Jesus is calling you right now. If you can take the bold step, and join up, he will transform your life. He will turn your life around. Be bold as you come. There is salvation in his hands. Talk to him. The garment of filth must be taken away. A new garment from the Lord must be given you. This is that moment. This is that time. Seliko salamanteli. Ikamenso saliko skeli. Talk to him. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I know some of you are born again, but filled. You can repent. Say, Lord, I want to begin afresh. I know you have something for me to do in your kingdom. And right now, I've come to say I am present. I'm present. Lord, look upon these ones with mercy. 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 In the name of Jesus. Can you say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me? Wash me from any sin. Write my name in the book of life. Every covenant I entered into, knowingly or unknowingly, let his power over my soul be broken. Father, I come to you and I ask tonight, let all my sins be blotted out by the power that is in the blood of Jesus. Write my name, Lord, in the book of life. Give me the ability to live for you all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Who is the counselor for the night? Okay, Pastor Tony. I just had a vision. And there is one among you that has a chain on him or her. So I want to pray so that chain will break before
you meet the counselor. Father, that one that has this chain, I ask that your mighty hand might come upon that one. Let your mighty hand come upon that one. Don't worry, you don't need to say amen. The hand is already coming. Let your mighty hand come upon the one that has a chain. Let your mighty hand come upon that one. In the name of Jesus. Now bring that lady to me. There's a chain there. There's a chain. There's a chain. Saiko melama. There's a chain. Okay, the rest of you, where's Pastor? Okay, wait, let them see. Where are you running to? This handsome pastor is called Pastor Tony. Follow him and release them in the next 15 minutes. There's a miracle service that must take place here. Bring that lady up here. He's going to take your information, your phone number, your name, email address, so that we can reach out to you after this meeting. First prayer point. Lord, let my garment be always white, and let my head lack no ointment. Let my garment be always white, and let my head lack no ointment. I see the finger of God.
Celia Kiga Manda Korea Mama Ailele Kore Salama Madie Ailele Kosamina Mama Ailele Ikesa Ika Mamore Narale Ailele Oh Ailele Oh Ialia sika mama te o mama Ailele o Ailele o sala mama Aha ha Aha ha Aha ha Essa sila madabre ma ha 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 eh esse essa so me mama e cane no no mo ha eh ela si mama ya pela. Eminale Kapolo Mamane Kapolo Selala Bunana Let your garment be always white and let your head never lack ointment. Aha ha. Hey, hey, hey. Ailele ko malabo mama Amena la doce sase Aha ha Eh eh Saila mama mama Saila mama mama Aha ha Eh eh Hey, 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 hey. Ketalia, Escapata Capre Mabo. Ha ha ha. Essa salamoria, mama. Essa salamo, salamo. Ha ha ha.
He will fill you up. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I see already 7 people in the spirit. And God is, there's a change of rank. There were sergeants. Then another rank was put on. You see, when your rank is changed, then your authority in the spirit becomes much more than it was. And there are 7 of them. Father, in the name of Jesus, those 7 people that you are changing their rank, can you be so kind as to show me those people?
from my left hand side to my right hand side to the back of the hall. Those seven people that you are changing their rank, show them to me. I beg of you, show them to me. 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 Let your hand come strong. Let your hand come strong. Let your hand come strong upon them in the name of Jesus. Hey, I see a lady in the spirit. So much oppression around you. So much oppression. So much discouragement to keep you in a perpetual state of discouragement. But God is bringing you out by the anointing. He's bringing you out. He's bringing you out. And as I speak to you, there's an oil of God that is coming to change that morning to beauty, to rejoicing. At the count of four, at the count of four, one, two, three, four. Second prayer point. Hey, 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 I'm seeing two angels. I'm seeing two angels now. And these two angels are going to walk through the congregation. There are two people. There are two people. God is commissioning you in this meeting. There are two people. You are being commissioned in this meeting. You are being commissioned right now as I speak. And the hand of God is beginning to descend upon you. It's coming strong. It's coming so strong upon your life. A woman came in here with a moving object on your tummy. Woman, you look for the object now. God is commissioning some people. He's commissioning them. Oh, oh, mama, sika baito, malasco. That somebody, you'll be caught up in a flame in the next few seconds. In a huge flame, a mighty flame descends upon you. A mighty flame descends upon you right now. You'll be caught up. Thank you, Lord. Second prayer point. Can we pray? Can you ask God for an empowerment now? Now. Lord, this is that moment that we seek, that you will show us mercy and bring unto us an empowerment that will make us more effective on the field. An empowerment, oh God, in the name of Jesus. That's what we seek tonight. That you might be generous tonight. Be generous. Be generous tonight. Hey! Abobo Seka Malek. Now listen. There are four of you I'm looking for. I know you are, those four people are in the front here. The hand of God will help me find those four people. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask, oh God, show me! Father, in the name of Jesus, now listen, those of you here, a fire will catch up with three people, to catch up with three people. Father, I ask, in the name of Jesus, these three people for which you moved me here, help me find the people. Find the three people. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Ghost, 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 help me. Okay, it's coming stronger. Holy Ghost. Give out the gift of working of miracles. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. He says two people will receive that gift. Two people. Father, show me the two people. Show me. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Now I want to pray for the sick. The healing anointing is present. Now, see, you choir people, I'm noticing that there's a terrific anointing that wants to come on somebody, on one of you. A terrific anointing. And the Lord stretch forth his hands. Okay. Lord, in the name of Jesus, those ones that you have chosen for an upgrade, I ask, oh God, that you touch them on their spirit, that you touch them on their spirit. Those ones that you have scheduled for some form of breakthrough in this season, I ask that you touch them from their spirit in the name of Jesus. Touch them from their, okay, he's coming stronger. He's coming so strong, so strong. Touch them, oh God. Let each and every one of them enter into what you have prepared, into what you have ordained. Let your hand be intense. Let your power be strong in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
is still one of you that I'm seeing here in the spirit, and the hand of God is stretched forth. Hallelujah. 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 Hey! Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Healing time. After the healing time, then we'll ask for the garments. Some of you will leave this place and there will be a total transformation. You will not be able to reconcile what will begin to happen in your life.